Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we're thankful this evening. Thankful for who you are. We marvel at your grace. We marvel at your wisdom. We marvel at your plan. The intricacies of all that you've put together to accomplish your purpose, your good pleasure, and your glory. Father, we have gathered this evening to study a portion of your word en route to glorifying you by understanding and functioning under your will. So as we have gathered together, we recognize that we are not able to comprehend anything spiritual apart from God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is our request that the Holy Spirit will open our minds, give us the focus that we need. For we ask in Christ's name, amen. We move on to Hosea chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. Hosea chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. In our last study, we considered the fourth indicator of Israel's restoration that involves a promise of the Lord's permanent commitment to Israel. That will be evident not only because of the Lord's character, but because of Israel's worship of the Lord, in that they will recognize that they are in a personal, intimate relationship with Him. So we come now to the fifth indicator of Israel's restoration that deals with the promise of provision of material blessings. As we now read in verses 21 and 22, read this way in the NIV. In that day, I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they will respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, and oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. Prophet Hosea here reminded Israel, and so to all of us, that his prophecy is still concerned with the restoration of Israel. We say this because of the phrase, in that day, that begins verse 21. This is the third time the phrase occurs in the section of this book that covers verses 16 through 23 that we've been considering. And of course, it is actually the final time this phrase occurred in the prophet's book. Now, as we have interpreted previously in verse 16, the phrase as used in this section, verses 16 through 23, conveys the sense of the time of restoration and blessing to God's people. Now, we have applied this promise, or this promise restoration, to Israel, to believers, who have been restored after having gone astray, or having rebelled against the Lord. And so the implication is that if a believer is restored in fellowship to the Lord after apostatizing, then the indicators of restoration of Israel will be applicable to that individual, although not necessarily in the same magnitude as promised to Israel, but in measure as the Lord has determined that will reflect these evidences of restoration on the believer. Now, the description given in this fifth indicator of the lost restoration of Israel is presented in a manner that it is evident the Lord's blessing to his people is communicated to them through intermediary agents. This observation is important because failure to see this could lead to a wrong conclusion that might imply worship of nature. By this we mean that since in the prophet's description of verses 21 and 22, it is Jezreel that is the beneficiary of the last response, then there is a possibility to think that Jezreel had prayed to the produce mentioned while the produce prayed to the earth, and the earth to the skies, and the skies to the Lord. In other words, it is possible to see the objects mentioned as serving as mediators to God on behalf of the people. That's possible. Now, in fact, some have taken this view, although they say figuratively, to convey the supplication or the prayer of the people to the Lord. However, to take this view, even figuratively, is dangerous, because the prophet would not use any figure that might imply idolatry to the people of God who have been cured of idolatry. But that's how some see it, as praying through all those channels of prayer. So really, it is best to take the descriptions of these two verses to communicate the agents the Lord uses in bringing about His blessing to His people. We are saying that the series of implied requests and response of the Lord to the skies or heavens, skies to the earth, earth to grain, new wine and oil, and these to Jezreel, reveal the route God's blessings to His people would take, rather than the channels of supplications, as some people think. Be that as it may, this fifth indicator of restoration to Israel that involves material blessings reveals some truthful principles that we should latch on to tonight. They are not new per se for some of you, but for some it might be. A first fruitful principle is that true blessings from the Lord can be known by the conditions that are present with the one who enjoys these blessings. That is to say, that we can tell who is blessing who. Now, this principle is important because it is necessary to differentiate between material prosperity that constitutes true blessing and that which does not. We are saying that not all material prosperity is to be considered true blessing from the Lord, as some material prosperity may in fact be a curse from God that is administered by the agency of Satan. Stated in another way, we are saying that not all material prosperity comes directly or immediately from the Lord. Some material prosperity comes directly from the Lord, and some indirectly and immediately from Satan. Now, we use the word directly simply to convey the fact that although a given material prosperity could come to an individual immediately from Satan, but ultimately all kinds of material prosperity comes from the Lord, in the sense that He is sovereign ruler of the world. He owns everything in the world, so that no one could give it another, or give another anything material, except by the design and permission of God Himself. Now, as a sovereign ruler, there are certain powers that the Lord has granted to Satan under which he functions. Because of these powers, Satan can immediately bring material prosperity to an individual in order to deceive him, so as not to seek a right relationship with the Lord. That, of course, the ultimate source of all blessings. Hence, that kind of prosperity is not true blessing, because it's designed in God's plan, of course, so that this person will go spiritually blind and in end will be lost. So we are certain of this assertion because if Satan had no power to grant material prosperity to people, then he would not have offered to give all the authority and honor of this world to Jesus Christ during his temptation. Now Satan claimed that the authority and the splendor of this world belong to him. In Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Luke chapter 4, verse 6. Here it reads, "And he said to him," that's to the Lord Jesus Christ, "I will give you all the authority and splendor." Now, before I go to the next one, here is the thing that you have to understand is, when you see all this glamour, it doesn't mean it's coming from the Lord directly. Ultimately, he is the source of everything. But these are things that can come intermediary through Satan himself. And so that's why he said, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me." And who gave it to Satan? So he didn't say, "I have it." He said, "It has been given to me." Which means God gave it to him. Then he said, "I can give it to anyone I want to." Well, of course, Jesus did not really dispute Satan's claim at this point, although there seems to be an element of exaggeration in Satan's claim. You may say, "Where is that exaggeration?" When he said, I give it to anyone I want to, that's not really true. Unless God, whoever God wants, that's the person he's going to use it on. It's not up to Satan to decide that. So that's why I say it's a little bit of exaggeration. Nevertheless, the fact that Jesus did not immediately challenge Satan's claim implies there is some element of truth to his claim. So Satan has the power to bring material prosperity to an individual to deceive him about his spiritual life. See, he can do it in many ways. He can do it in such a way he prospers some people and they think their prosperity is from God because they are doing well spiritually, and it's not. All it is designed to deceive the person. Or it can just be a way to just make a person blind. And their wealth or all that they have keep them from looking at the reality of this life until they die and go to hell. So that's the case here. Furthermore, though, if this was not the case, in other words, if Satan could not do this, then it is difficult to explain partially the prosperity of the wicked. We couldn't explain it. Not that we can explain it fully, but partially. So in any event, the point that we're stressing is that Satan can immediately bring material prosperity to an individual. But that does not constitute true blessing of God. True blessing from God can only be known by the spiritual condition of the receiver. See, that's why you know whether it is a true prosperity, true blessing is a spiritual condition of the person who receives it. In effect, all I'm saying is it is the spiritual life of an individual that determines if his or her prosperity is directly from the Lord or immediately from Satan. The spiritual life. Now, well, some will say, how did you arrive at this first truthful principle that true blessing or blessings from the Lord can be known by the conditions that are present with the one who enjoys it? It is by observing the order of the indicators of the restoration of Israel in the future. It is not a matter of style, or is it accidental, as we usually say, that this fifth indicator of Israel's restoration is material blessings of the Lord as promised in these two verses that we're expounding? No, really, it is by divine design. You know, it's a lot of time we as human beings, we don't pay attention to orders and protocols in certain cases. Not so with God. Because you see, when you have a plan, everything flows logically, as far as God is concerned, sequentially. So he pays attention to every detail that is in his plan. So all I'm arguing is, it is by divine design that we have this order, to show us that there are certain conditions that must be present before we can consider our material prosperity to be true blessing of the Lord. The indicators we have considered involved genuine love for the Lord, Israel being cured of idolatry, enjoyment of security, and the Lord's commitment to his people that will cause them to acknowledge him. So you see, it is after Israel has genuine love for the Lord and acknowledges him that the promise of material blessing is given. The implication is that if there is true blessing from the Lord, then the spiritual life and all the spiritual conditions of the individual should show that. Here Israel will show genuine love for the Lord and be free of any form of idolatry before the Lord sends his material blessings to them. Again, the issue: if you are in a mess spiritually and you are prospering, things are going well, your money is increasing, everything that touch your hands seem to be going very well, that is a design to curse you, not a true blessing from the Lord. Because all it does is blind the person, and they think they are doing well, when in reality they are not. That's what we're trying to emphasize this evening in this first truthful principle. Now, the third indicator of Israel's restoration, as we have previously considered, is provision of security. Now, this also comes after Israel's possession of genuine love for the Lord and being cured of idolatry. This again implies that even true security can only come when a person's spiritual life is what it ought to be in his relationship to the Lord. The Lord will provide you security when he blesses you materially. I say there are many parts of the world today where there are many with great wealth, but they live in fear because of lack of safety. However, though, if a person has true blessing the Lord provides, then such an individual would not live in fear because the Lord is his security. The point is that it is the spiritual condition of any individual that determines if the material prosperity he enjoys could be classified as true blessing from the Lord or not. Note what is stated in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 10 verse 22. It reads, "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. In other words, here's the thing. If your prosperity is from the Lord, he says there's no trouble that goes with it. And does it mean that your business runs smoothly all the time? That doesn't mean that. It's not what he's talking about. What he's talking is, as an individual, you're not going to experience those conditions that will distract you spiritually. That's one of the things that will happen. And not only that, he will give you a kind of peace that even if, you know, things are not going well materially, you'll still be at peace. So, but the thing is, wherever he gives you the true blessing, wealth that the Lord gives you, it is not the type that even when you're enjoying it, you're miserable. That's really part of what the Lord is telling us here. So that's the first truthful principle. Your spiritual condition will tell you whether your blessing or the material prosperity that you're experiencing is from the Lord or not. Now, a second truthful principle that this fifth indicator of restoration of Israel provides us is that the proper functioning of things in God's creation is affected by man's spiritual condition. In effect, when the things created by God for the enjoyment of man on this planet ceases to function the way they were designed, then that is because the Lord has brought some kind of judgment on man. For example, it is God's purpose that the skies will pour out rains to the earth so that the ground will be fertile and produce food for man. But when God shuts off the skies from producing rain, we have famine, which is usually an indication of God's judgment on a people or a nation. Of course, today, God has nothing to do with it. It's El Nino and all those, you know, weather pattern. Okay? Nothing from God. That's why they don't have rain in such and such a place. And so on and so forth. Now, this fact, though, about God's judgment through famine, it's evident in the history of Israel, since there are records of famine as judgment in the time of King David and King Ahab. King Solomon himself was aware of the connection between famine and judgment of the Lord on his people because of their sins, that he linked famine to sin in his prayer of the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 26. Second Chronicles chapter 6 verse 26. This is his prayer because he understood this connection. He said, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, you can go on and read the rest. All he's saying, when this happens, please answer their prayer. Now here is the thing, see, he has seen the example, I mean the connection between famine and sinning. Because, you know, like I said, today people don't see that. Now, I remember, this is not my note, but I remember somebody telling me some few months ago now, that the day that the Supreme Court of California, or something to that effect, sanctioned same-sex marriage or something, I don't know exactly what it was, he said to me that there were about 800 that same day of wildfires all over the place. The same day. And that he, you know, people just, no one thought about, you know, he has no connection with anything. I say, yeah, no. People never think this way. We have been so beaten down to the fact that even the greatest amongst us sometimes are dragged into the same pit of not connecting that everything that happens has relevance to our spiritual life. Everything. Not some, everything. But so, here, Solomon knows that. He noticed that. That's why he made that prayer. Now, the examples of famine in Israel in time of David and Ahab are really not the only proofs of the negative aspect of this second principle. The Apostle Paul indicated that creation is in bondage because of man's sins, as recorded in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 20. Through 22, sorry. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. It reads, "The creation awaits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed." See, everything is suffering. That's what it's saying. Everything. The trees, the skies, everything is suffering because of man's sin. It says, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." In other words, everything God created to serve man, everything is groaning. He has been affected by man's fall and sin. That's what it is. So this passage in Romans and the record of the time of famine in the Hebrew Bible prove the negative of the principle we have stated. But the positive aspect of the principle we have stated is derived from what the Lord promised to do with the skies and the earth in verses 21 and 22 of Hosea chapter 2 that we're studying, to bring about the material prosperity or blessing to his restored people. Therefore, we demonstrate this principle as well as some others by expanding those two verses that we're considering. Now, a key word that enables us to perceive the principle that we have stated is the word respond. Respond. This word is translated from a Hebrew word from where we get the English name Anna. It means to answer, to respond, either to a question with a verbal reply or to a circumstance with action. So in the passage we're considering, the word is used positively in connection with actions described in this passage. Now, it is interesting that the word appears 5 times in these 2 verses, twice in association with the Lord as the subject, and thrice or 3 times in connection with God's creation. The Lord responds positively to creation because of his determination to bless his restored people. Hence, if the Lord wants to bring judgment on people, then he will respond negatively to creation, and that will bring curse on people. Therefore, the principle we stated should be evident in the Lord's response to creation described in the verses that we're considering. So in any event, the use of the word respond five times describe four sequential actions that lead to the Lord's material blessing to his restored people in terms of agricultural prosperity, as we'll elaborate later. A third truthful principle that this fifth indicator of restoration of Israel provides us is that when we are in the right relationship with the Lord, he provides us with material blessing even if we do not as yet pray for it. This is what I said. If we are in the right relationship with the Lord, he will provide us material blessings even if we don't pray for it yet. Now, this principle is derived from the first use of the word respond in verse 21. See, the word respond, when first used in connection with the Lord in the sentence of verse 21, "In that day I will respond, declares the Lord," creates the impression that the Lord is responding to prayer. That's the impression it creates. But the prophet did not indicate directly that the people prayed to him, although that may be implied. So the situation here with regard to the material blessing promised to the restored people of God is probably the situation where the Lord responded to his people before they even prayed. This will be in keeping with that type of promise given in Isaiah 65 verse 24. Isaiah 65 verse 24. Isaiah 65 verse 24. Where he said, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Now, of course, here's the thing that we can get from this passage is all the prayers that you have to offer that I call proper prayer. If you recall, by using that term, proper prayer means a prayer that agrees with the will of God and the timing. All those proper prayers were part of God's plan for you. That is to say, every one of them already in his plan, and at the right time you pray them. And that's one reason why before you could call, he answered, because there is an answer he's already put in his plan for you as a believer. Now, Israel may not have prayed for the lost material blessing, but once they acknowledged him as their Lord, as the prophet had indicated in the last sentence of Hosea 2:20, when he said, "And you will acknowledge the Lord," then the Lord answered with blessing. Now this would also be in keeping with the promise that the Lord made in his Sermon on the Mount, that indicates that once we seek the Lord, that he will supply what we need in abundance, according to Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. This is what the Lord says to all of us: "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So we're saying that once Israel was cured of idolatry and responded to the Lord in worshiping Him, that such attitude amounted to prayer that the Lord answered with His blessing on them. So the point we want to stress to all of us is this, that we should not be preoccupied with blessings. Rather, we should be preoccupied with God's rule over us and His righteousness. That should be our preoccupation. If we do so, it is His promise that we will be provided with those blessings that we need to sustain us on this planet. The blessings come in different ways. Now, the problem many of us Christians face today is that we are preoccupied with blessing instead of our relationship with the Lord, and that opens up us up for Satan to come in with his material abundance so as to cause spiritual blindness to us. All you have to listen is to some of these prosperity preachers. That's all they preach on, all the time telling you what God promised, blessing that He give you. But they never preach on the lifestyle that is necessary to come to those blessings. And so when people buy those things and they ignore their spiritual life, Satan steps in. And they say, well, I go to that church because, you know, I just love what I'm taught. Which is, of course, nothing really. Except all it is how to be prosperous. And Satan loves that. He can camouflage all that so as to bring about a spiritual demise on a person. So that's one thing that I'm emphasizing here, that if we become preoccupied with blessings instead of the one who blesses, His rule over us, His righteousness, then we open up ourselves for Satan to come in and do some damage. However, if we remain preoccupied with the Lord's rule over us and His righteousness, then Satan has no room to operate. So whatever prosperity we enjoy will be true, because it comes directly from the Lord without any involvement of Satan. A fourth truthful principle that this fifth indicator of restoration of Israel provides is that the Lord is the ultimate source of all things that are on this planet. That's simple to enough. He is the originator of all that man enjoys on this planet. Everything we enjoy. The implication of this principle is that whatever material benefit you derive directly from others should be recognized as coming from the Lord, so that you should give thanks to Him. Now, this does not mean that we should not show appreciation to the immediate agents that God uses to meet our needs. For we should. But all we want to emphasize that even as we show appreciation to others who help us, that we should not lose sight of the ultimate source of our blessing. I am a firm believer of this fact. Whatever is God wants to do in His plan, and if you are the person that has been put in that plan to do it, you will do it. Fighting, kicking, you do it. Willingly, you do it. It doesn't matter, you will do it. See, that's the issue with that. It's in His plan. If it is in His plan, you will do it. I'm sure some of you may have an experience where the Lord brings something in your mind and you can't get rest until you do it. Maybe to help somebody or do something, and you just never get rest until you do it. You think it's by your choice? Yeah, no, many of us we think it is. No, whatever it is His plan. This is why the believer, once you are in peace with God and let His, you know, seek His rule over you, don't worry about the rest of us. If He wants to use us to do anything for you, He'll do it. Even when we don't like it, but He'll do it. Now, in the passage we're considering, though, the Lord is the source of the material blessings of His restored people. And so, He is described as the one who initiates the events necessary to bring about the blessing of His restored people. The first action is the Lord's instruction to the skies that He created. As the prophet writes now, what the Lord says in verse 21 where we're starting, He said, I will respond to the skies. I will respond to the skies. Now, the Lord did not tell us in what way He will respond to the skies. It is not for us to know, because we are limited to our knowledge of how the Lord interacts with His creation. Our problem is, you know, as human beings, we are soaked in arrogance, and we think that God owes us an explanation for everything. So, but He doesn't. Whatever He sees fit for us to know, He has made it known. Others that He hasn't seen fit, we can speculate all we want. It's nothing but speculation. We may not even come close to His purpose. So really, the important fact for us here to understand is that the Lord will interact with the skies to do His will. Furthermore, what we should be concerned is the effect of the interaction between the Lord and the created skies, no matter how it takes place. Well, in any event, all we can deduce that the Lord will instruct the skies to take an action that will make the earth fertile, and then the created skies obey Him. No question asked. God says, creation responds, except for man that has problem with responding to God's instruction. Now, the obedience of the skies to the instruction from the Lord is evident in their response to the earth, because we read in the last clause of verse 21, and they will respond to the earth. And they will respond to the earth. But really, what does it mean that the skies will respond to the earth? It means that the skies will pour water on in form of rain or dew to the earth. That's what it means to respond. The skies will bring rain or dew to the earth. Now, this is the only meaningful manner in which the skies will respond to the earth beside the contestors. Furthermore, it is also the response of the earth that gives us the indication that pouring forth rain is meant in the response of the skies to the earth. Without rain, the earth cannot be fertile for producing grains. So, once the earth receives rain, that indicates that the Lord has communicated to the earth to carry out His function of producing the necessary grain that will sustain man on the earth. Now, talk about rain. Let me narrate to you. This is not in my notes now. this, because this happened today. Let me narrate to you something that happened to me this morning. I do it first for the praise of God, and secondly, for a challenge for all of us to see how easily we can lack faith. Show you my own lack of faith. That's why I want to narrate it. Now, many times, I generally, these days, I take a walk in the morning. Maybe after I study, anywhere from 1 hour to 3 hours, I take a walk and then go back to study. Now, this morning, when I was about to do that, the first lap I went, no rain. In the middle, it started raining a little bit, and I said, Lord, I really need this. You know, I sit all this time. I really need this walk. Can you hold the rain? I said, you can. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that kind of prayer, and the Lord answered it. But you know this morning, what happened? Well, when I prayed that, it started raining hard. I wanted to turn right back and go back to my driveway. And I could hear as clear as it comes, oh, you of little faith. And when I heard that, I said, wow. I turned right back, and it was still raining. And when I didn't take more than 6 steps, it dried up. And I said, okay, what's my point? When I heard that clearly, oh, you of little faith, it reminds me how many times we just give up and say, oh, well, maybe it's not the Lord's will, because we see a little bit problem. All the reason I was running back is it started raining. I said, maybe I didn't pray a proper prayer. But had I not got that rebuke of being of little faith, I probably wouldn't have finished my exercise. And I went on to explain it. Why? He's the one that controls the rain. And so the rain responded to him. So the point is, you can see how easily you and I can fool ourselves into not exercising true faith. And we can give all the explanation we want on this planet. It just amounts to being of little faith. So, the Lord instructs the earth for the skies to communicate, rain to the earth, and then instructs the earth. The earth obeys God's instruction so as to produce grains. It is this obedience to the Lord's instruction that is communicated in the first clause of verse 22 where we're starting, where it says, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine, and oil. Now the intended meaning of this clause is that the earth will produce grain. Not only will it produce grain, well, generally, you don't get new wine and oil by itself. That means that there will be good grapes, olive, fruit will have to ripe so they can get some to make oil. So you see, the earth will produce grain, good grapes, and olive to make new wine and oil. Now, these items are indicators of healthy agricultural economy of the ancient world. That's how they measured, most time, good economy, the produce of the year. Grains are necessities for survival, while wine and oil convey pleasure or sometimes even luxury. So what the Lord promised that the earth will produce is material blessing to His restored people. And we're certain that the Lord intended to communicate His material prosperity to His restored people because of what He said with respect to these items produced by the earth. Notice the prophet writes in the last clause of verse 22, where we're starting, Hosea 2:22. It says, it reads, and they will respond to Jezreel. they will respond to Jezreel. The pronoun they, because that's the issue, what's that pronoun they referring to? They will respond to Jezreel. That pronoun they could either refer to the skies or the items produced by the earth, that is the grain, new wine, and oil. So one of the ways that some of these things we can tell what is what is by looking at the Hebrew or Greek grammar. Now, in this particular case, we look if they in the Hebrew, in this particular case, is in the masculine. So we'll look whether these nouns are in masculine so as to reflect it. It turns out that both of them are in the masculine. So this is because, again, like I said, the word they is in masculine gender in the Hebrew. And so, could either refer to skies, that's also in masculine, or it could refer to the produce from the earth. All the produce also all in masculine. So then how do we decide which is intended? Since both of them can fit the relative pronoun there, in this case, or there here, because of grammar. So grammar alone doesn't cut it. So we have to investigate a little bit. And we see that it is through a pattern that is established in these two verses that help us to make that decision. You see, the Lord is the first subject, and he responded to the skies so that the skies became the object. But then the skies became the subject and responded to the earth. Now, following the same pattern, the earth became the subject and responded to the grain, new wine and oil. So if we follow this pattern, then it makes more sense that the last mentioned objects, grain, new wine and oil, that should be the new subject that will respond to Jezreel, so that they should refer to grain, new wine, and oil. That's the way we can decide which is which. Now, in what sense, though, will grain, new wine, and oil respond to Jezreel? It is in the sense that these items will indicate prosperity to Israel. In effect, the Lord is saying that the presence of grain, new wine, and oil will indicate his material blessing on Israel at the time of the restoration of the people. Now, we use the word Israel because the word Jezreel is a city in northern Israel. So, as a city, it is used here by the prophet to refer to Israel as a nation. It's not saying that God is going to respond to just that one small city, but that's the word that is used to describe the entire nation. Furthermore, if you recall, the prophet had named one of his children Jezreel. We saw in chapter 2, beginning, to indicate judgment that will come to the dynasty of Jehu. So then that the name Jehu means, at that time, an implied punishment or judgment in a phase of Israel's history. But when the people are restored, cured of idolatry, then that name signifies blessing, no more cursing. Because before it signified judgment, But now, since all these are good things, good indicators of prosperity, and they will respond to Jezreel, that just simply shows that the nation Israel will be blessed. So in any event, the prophet used the word Jezreel to describe the restored people of God. If so, we come to the final principle that comes out of this passage. So then, a fifth truthful principle that this fifth indicator of the restoration of Israel provides us is that the Lord's material blessing do not normally come directly from Him, but through intermediary agents. Again, what we're saying is His material blessings do not normally come directly from Him, but through some intermediary agents. Now, this principle is evident in that the blessing of the restored people involve series of events that we have seen in these two verses. The Lord will send rain. The rain will cause the ground to be fertile and then to produce the necessary food. So the Lord did not directly send material prosperity to His people, although He could if He chose to. In other words, when we pray to God to provide our needs, He does not normally provide them directly. You could pray for food, for example, but He will provide it not by raining down food from heaven as He did with manna in the desert. And that to tell us He can do it if He wants us. Instead, though, what we're talking about is the normal. That giving of manna in the desert was miraculous. These are the normal way God will do things. And every now and then, He steps out of the normal pattern, and we call it miracle, more or less. So he will use intermediary agents to provide you the food, often through work. Part of it will be to have you have an employment, to give you good health, so you can work for your food, even though you've prayed for it. Now you say, well, you know, how would that be His blessing? We talk to people who want job and they can't find any. Or people who have some, but don't have the health to do it. So I'm saying that when you pray for the Lord to provide your needs, then you should go about doing those things that you need to do, and the Lord will meet your needs through the channels He has seen fit. So in any event, we should still recognize that it is our spiritual condition that determines whether we enjoy His blessings or not. Therefore, if you desire His blessings, then you should desire to know Him in a more personal way. You should desire His rule over you and His righteousness. Then He will pour His blessings to you. That is a guarantee from Him. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of Your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will challenge us for the things we have studied this evening, so that we will continue to seek Your rule over us. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.